like to ask for this opportunity from Ajahn Wirotamo and the other monks who are here. All of us have come here this evening to perform the evening puja, having some chanting, sitting in meditation, and to listen to a Dhamma talk. In our lives, there are two main matters, that of body and mind. Our bodies, let's say we have these sensory, our senses, our eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and bodily sensations. And these serve as an intermediary between our sensory contacts of sights, sounds, odors, tastes, and bodily sensations. Whenever sensory contact takes place, we give rise to a consequent mental impression, this feeling of either satisfaction, dissatisfaction, or indifference. Therefore, our sense organs serve as this intermediary with our sense contacts, and these give rise to mental impressions, these feelings that arise within our mind. And if we do not go about this practice of observing moral virtue, practicing concentration and cultivating wisdom within one's mind, then if we do not practice that path, then whenever greed, anger and delusion dominate the mind of such a person, they are unable to separate their mind out from any emotions that arise within the mind. For the feeling within the heart of most people is that their mood and emotions are the mind. They are one and the same thing. They are unable to separate them out. However, in truth, moods, thoughts and emotions are merely conditions of mind. They arise within the mind. Anybody who is lacking in mindfulness and wisdom, then whenever the mental defilements of greed, anger and delusion overcome the mind, then whenever the mind is overcome by greed, they may compete with each other ruthlessly and even go to the extent of harming or taking each other's life just to get the things which they covet. Likewise, due to the power of anger, when this overcomes the mind, then people will also have verbal arguments, harm each other physically, or even go to the extent also of taking other people's lives, and this is due to the power of anger. Therefore, if we let our minds become slaves or servants to the mental defilements, then this will always be a cause of suffering for us, both here in the present and in the future. If we are to have the mindfulness and wisdom which is wise to or abreast of the emotions that arise within the heart, then it is necessary that we have to come and develop meditation or concentration. If we think that this heart is our own, then why is it that at times the mind is very restless and there is suffering arising within the mind? Why is this so? And it is because the mind attaches to the moods and emotions of greed, anger, satisfaction and dissatisfaction, believing these to be oneself or one's own mind, and this will cause suffering to arise within the heart. Therefore, if we wish to have mindfulness and wisdom so that we can guard and control our minds, so that we will only think in wholesome ways and consequently act and speak in wholesome ways, it is necessary that we have to practice concentration. And we do this by continuously focusing our mindfulness upon one particular meditation object which is suited towards us. And we need to have patience and effort and put a lot of work into developing this. We really have to work at this practice. And outside of formal meditation, whether we are standing, walking, sitting, lying down or performing any activities, we should always have mindfulness present with whatever we are doing. And when we are free from our work and activities, then we should have mindfulness coming to focus upon the heart. If we have mindfulness focusing upon the heart, then we will see whatever thoughts, moods and emotions are arising within the heart, whether they be emotions of greed, anger, satisfaction or dissatisfaction. If we have mindfulness and wisdom watching over the mind, we will be aware of these whenever they arise. Yet to have this mindfulness and wisdom that is able to do this, able to be abreast of the emotions when they arise, it is necessary that we have to practice the development of concentration. If one in past lives has put a lot of effort into developing concentration, then in this present life they will find that it is relatively easy to make their mind peaceful and concentrated. Yet if we realize that it is difficult to concentrate our mind due to having put little effort into developing concentration in previous lives, then in this present life we have to be patient and put forth effort into the practice of keeping our mindfulness focused upon a meditation object so as to quieten the mind and develop concentration. In the beginning, developing concentration may be very difficult because the mind may be agitated and restless, and this will make the practice of developing concentration somewhat difficult for us. Yet if we are patient and put forth a lot of effort into the practice of developing concentration, really work at this practice, then the periods that the mind is agitated will lessen and the periods where the mind is peaceful will increase. Therefore, we will be making the mind one-pointed and concentrated, the mind will become peaceful. What's important is that we have patience and effort when we come to practice meditation, regardless of whether the mind is peaceful or not. We keep on practicing this. For example, we have come here this evening and sat meditation for half an hour, and then we must keep on trying for that period of time just to keep our mind focused upon our chosen meditation object. Try to make one's mind objective and equanimous, regardless of whether the mind is peaceful or not. Keep coming back to the meditation object and keep working to make the mind peaceful. For example, if one was to think of a wood sculptor or carver, and they take 10 logs of wood, each about 1 foot long, from the forest, and they wish to carve the shape of an animal or a person, the first log doesn't come out very good. The second, third, and fourth, and fifth start improving. By the time you get to the sixth and seventh and eighth, then things are starting to look a lot better. And the ninth is almost there, but by the time they do the tenth one is what they had set out to do. It's what they actually wanted to be, and it's ready that they can actually put out there in their on display or ready to sell. The practice of concentration is just the same. When we sit meditation for the first, second time, then it may not come to much, gain much results from this. And as we practice more and more, third, fourth, fifth times and so on, then one becomes more skilled at the practice of meditation, and by the time it's the ninth and tenth time, then one has developed a skill in how to concentrate the mind. For anybody who is patient and put forth effort and does not allow discouragement to enter into their heart, then they will achieve results in the practice of meditation. If we wish to have mindfulness and wisdom which can keep control over our own heart so that the mind does not become a slave or a servant to its moods and emotions and can be abreast of these emotions whenever they arise and wise to them, then it is necessary that we have to develop concentration. When we frequently bring our mindfulness to focus upon a meditation object, and do this continuously, whether it be focusing upon the in and out breath or the meditation word putto, if we maintain our focus there and continuously do so, then over time the mind will concentrate, and this will give rise to the strength of mindfulness and concentration. When the strength of mindfulness arises within the mind, then we will be able to govern the mind so that we only think in skillful ways and consequently act and speak in skillful ways too. Even though at times unwanted, bad or unskillful thoughts will arise within the mind, our mindfulness and wisdom will be abreast of these thoughts and will be able to reflect upon them so as to let them go from the mind in each and every instant that they arise. Practicing like this, we will therefore be able to make the mind free from thoughts and emotions. Therefore, we have to have mindfulness and wisdom continually watching over the mind so as to filter out all of the thoughts, moods and emotions that arise within the mind in each and every instant that they occur. Whenever good, skillful thoughts arise within the mind, then we can actually keep a hold of these, because these can help us to cultivate and develop the mind, because wholesome thoughts will cause us to act and speak in wholesome, good ways too. Initially, when we come to practice meditation, then we must resolve to focus our attention upon our meditation object for the period of time that we have allocated to do so. And during that period, just keep bringing the mind, for example, to the breath or to the meditation word putto, and do not allow the mind to go off to thoughts of the past or the future, or do not entertain bad or even good thoughts, but to keep one's mind merely focused upon the meditation object. And even after sitting for half an hour, one has not made one's mind peaceful, then it is important to reflect that this unpeaceful state is impermanent. Do not allow the mind to go attaching to that unpeaceful state. Always recollect that whatever arises is impermanent. Likewise, if one sits meditation, one is able to make one's mind peaceful for that whole half-hour period, and peaceful to the extent that rapture and happiness and one pointedness of mind arises, then even as one is about to finish one's meditation sitting, one must use one's mindfulness and wisdom to teach the mind that this peaceful state is also impermanent, and so as to make one's mind objective and equanimous, always center one's mind so that one is higher or higher than this emotion. Once we break from our formal meditation, then it's important to have mindfulness, maintaining a watch over the mind so as to see the thoughts, moods and emotions that are arising within the mind. If one wants to develop good concentration, then as a foundation one needs to be regularly maintaining good moral precepts, keeping these five moral precepts. For the keeping of the five precepts, these good ethical or moral conduct, is a way of calming one's actions and speech, and this will enable us to make our mind peaceful more easily. And the development of concentration gives rise to the strength of mindfulness and wisdom within the heart. Mindfulness and wisdom is namely right view. This mindfulness and wisdom or right view is very different from the mindfulness or intelligence of people in the world, regardless of to what level they have studied, whether it be a degree, a master's degree or a doctorate degree. Their intelligence is very different to mindfulness and wisdom, which arises from concentration. For the mindfulness and intelligence of people in the world that are not practicing, then because they are not observing moral precepts or developing concentration, then whenever greed overcomes the mind, they are still likely to behave in immoral ways. They may cheat or steal, or if anger overcomes the mind, then they may go about harming or taking other people's lives. And this is due to the fact, through not keeping the moral precepts which will make which subdue their bodily actions and their speech, or the development of concentration which enables them to gain control over their mind and their emotions. The mindfulness and wisdom that arises from this practice of sila, samadhi and panya changes one's view from wrong view to right view. And this is the right view which formerly in the past we'd had the wrong view to believe that one's body is oneself, or the mind attaches to one's thoughts, moods and emotion, believing these to be oneself or to be one's mind. Formerly, under wrong view, we had believed that whatever the emotion, then that is the mind, or the mind is the emotion, one and the same thing. With mindfulness and concentration, then whenever there is sensory contact and mental impressions arise, be it satisfaction or dissatisfaction, mindfulness is aware of this, and due to the strength of concentration, the mind is able to separate itself out from these emotions when they arise. And one will see that all thoughts, moods and emotions, they are merely conditions or states of mind. They arise and they cease. And the mind will not chase after these thoughts or emotions that arise, and it will not go attaching to any thoughts or emotions of greed and anger or satisfaction and dissatisfaction. The strength of concentration enables us to separate the mind out from the thoughts and emotions that arise, and with mindfulness and wisdom we can reflect upon these thoughts and emotions so as to screen them out or to let them go from the mind. When the bodily elements of earth, water, air and fire go out of balance, then sickness will arise within the body. And yet with mindfulness, concentration and wisdom, one will be able to see that the mind has no control over the body. Formerly, when sickness afflicted the body, the mind would attach to this, and this would be a source of suffering. Or as the body ages, due to our attachment to the body, this will be a source of suffering. Yet with mindfulness, the strength of mindfulness and concentration and wisdom, the mind is able to separate out from the thoughts and emotions and to remain objective or equanimous to this. When the mindfulness and wisdom can see that the body is one thing and the mind is another, then mindfulness and wisdom will be able to go about the task of reflecting and contemplating upon the body. contemplating the body, one may reflect upon death and just see that this body is merely made up of elements. They come together and ultimately the body breaks apart, is impermanent. Or one could go about reflecting upon the asubha reflections, the reflecting upon the unattractiveness of the body, to see the body in various stages of decomposition so as to see the impermanence of the body. Or mindfulness and wisdom may just search within the body, searching for truth and reflecting, for example, like if the breath comes in and does not go out, or goes out and does not come in, then the heart stops beating. Once the air element stops coming into the body, then the heat element also ceases. And once the heat has gone, then coolness permeates the body. And after 3 to 5 days, once these elements have now gone out of balance, the water element starts looking for ways to break out from the body and return to the earth. And the earth element of the body, those parts which are hard, whether it be hair, bones, nails, teeth, skin, and what have you, these things over time, whether it be 1 year, 5 years, 10 years or more, they will keep breaking down until ultimately they just become returned to dust and returned to the earth. Due to the strength of concentration, when mindfulness and wisdom contemplate the body, whenever the contemplation happens, whenever we contemplate, then the strength of concentration is always concealed within the contemplation, and this will enable the contemplation to be very focused and very sharp, and one will see more clearly into the true nature of the body, and the mind will be able to temporarily let go of its attachment towards the body. If one wishes to contemplate the body, searching for the true nature of the body, searching as to know whether the body and the mind are one and the same thing or not, then one must go about developing concentration, make the mind peaceful. And once the mind has been made peaceful, allow it to rest in this peaceful state. Once the mind withdraws from this peaceful state and the thinking processes resume, then take up the body for contemplation. One could then take up the reflection upon the hair, body hair, nails, teeth and skin, to see that these objects are unattractive and intrinsically not clean. Or one may separate the body out into the super reflections or the element contemplation. When mindfulness and wisdom frequently contemplates the body like this and clearly sees it, then it begins to let go of its attachment. And at once clearly seen at times, this will give rise to a sense of dispassion towards the body. And this dispassion turns into rapture and to happiness. And one will temporarily let go of attachment to the body. And having temporarily let go of attachment to the body, the mind will re-enter into concentration. This whole process started out by using concentration to develop wisdom. And with contemplation, then wisdom enables the mind to re-enter into concentration. Having allowed the mind to rest in this peaceful state, then when the mind withdraws from this, mindfulness and wisdom will be able to be maintained, and the mind will be equanimous and detached. Regardless of whatever one is doing, standing, walking, sitting, lying down, or any activity, one's mindfulness and wisdom will be firmly established in the present moment. And at such times, whenever sensory contacts take place, the mind will not be moved or shaken by these. And at such a time, one will know for oneself that the practice of using concentration to develop wisdom, or wisdom to develop concentration, this is the path of practice for the letting go of the defilements that exist within the mind. Through the constant maintaining of the 5 precepts, or if one moves up to the 8 precepts, or maintains the 10 or the 227 precepts, this moral keeping of moral precepts serves as a foundation for one's spiritual practice, and upon this we are able to develop concentration. Concentration gives rise to mindfulness and wisdom. And when we use mindfulness and wisdom to reflect upon the body, the true nature of the body, this is called giving rise to the development of the Aryamagga, the Noble Path. This is starting to walk on the path towards the attainment of Dhamma. However, it is important that one is able to maintain one's mindfulness and concentration even outside of formal meditation in all of one's activities. regardless of whatever one is doing, whether standing, walking, sitting or lying down or performing any activity, this mindfulness and concentration must be maintained. If mental defilements or these coarse emotions of satisfaction and dissatisfaction arise within the mind, this will make the mind free from these emotions and the mind will be firmly established in the present moment. And having made the mind free from thoughts and emotions, we can then take up the body for contemplation, use mindfulness and wisdom to investigate the body to see the impermanence and absence of self of this physical body. We can practice the contemplation of reflecting upon the body by, for example, taking up the contemplation of one's hair or one's body hair or one's skin to see the intrinsic dirtiness of these bodily parts. Or one may focus upon the asupa reflections to see the unattractiveness of the body, or one may focus upon any of these elements to see that the nature of the body as being impermanent and absent of self. Mindfulness and wisdom, which frequently reflect upon the body, must be able to maintain the peaceful focus of concentration and mindfulness throughout all of one's activities throughout the day. And one must try to reflect frequently every day, or at least every few days, upon the body. When one's spiritual faculties unite into one cohesive strength, then mindfulness and wisdom will clearly see into the true nature of the body and will let go of its attachment towards the body. And this may come about not just through contemplating the body once, but may be the result of contemplating the body 100 times or even 1,000 times. And initially we let go of a coarse portion of attachment towards the body. Attachment towards the body can be classified as having 3 portions of attachment towards the body, and this is letting go of the first portion, the coarse portion. And one's wrong view has now changed and become right view. And this wrong view is that we had previously attached to the body as being oneself. And with the arising of right view, one will see that this body is not the mind, and the mind is not the body. This can be said that one sees the breaking down, breaking apart of the body before it actually breaks apart, or one sees the death of the body before it actually physically dies. With the letting go of this coarse portion of the kilesa, the attachment towards the body, then the mental defilement of greed is also weakened. And one will now have contentment for the things that one has. Greed will not go beyond the bounds of the 5 precepts. Likewise, anger, the coarsest, the more gross aspects of anger, that of ill will and vengeance, they are completely let go of from the mind, never to return. And anger will be expressed just as this dissatisfaction. And mindfulness and wisdom is able to reflect upon this dissatisfaction and readily let it go from the mind. And one who has achieved the state of being is called a stream enterer or a sotapanna. And after that point in time, there will be no 8th rebirth for such a person. At the most, they will only have 7 more rebirths. If they are practicing to moderate intensity, then they may have maybe only 3 more rebirths. And if their practice is very intensive, then upon the breaking down of the body in this lifetime, they will take just 1 more rebirth before finishing their practice. Yet in truth, those who do attain to this first level of attainment, that of stream enterer, then they normally have this determination to go about further cleansing and purifying their heart. That I have been teaching you to go about this practice of developing concentration and wisdom, that is something that I want you all to go about doing at your homes every day. Give time to this development of mindfulness, concentration and wisdom. Because if you only have moral, ethical behavior, keeping of these 5 precepts, but you do not have concentration, then you will not have the mindfulness and wisdom to be able to realize the Dhamma. If you do not have good moral behavior and yet have a degree of concentration and have some wisdom, you are still unable to let go of the kilesas within your heart. The noble path to liberation must be comprised of sila, samadhi and panya, moral virtue, concentration and wisdom. because this path of development give rise to mindfulness and wisdom and right view, so as to let go of attachment towards one's body, towards one's mind, and towards all things. Therefore, if one is keeping the five moral precepts, sometimes one may wish to practice the eight precepts in the development of concentration. Then sometimes the mind will be peaceful, sometimes the mind will not be peaceful. However, one must always go about this practice and keep putting forth effort into developing concentration and to allow have mindfulness and wisdom, always keeping a watch over the mind so as to not allow the kilesas or mental defilements to arise within the mind. Have mindfulness and wisdom, focusing, watching the mind, so as to filter out the mental defilements of greed and anger, and to filter out all suffering that arises within the heart. If we do not have mindfulness watching over the heart, then we will not see the thoughts, moods and emotions or the mental defilements that arise. We will not be abreast of them, we will be unaware of them. The kilesas, they do not arise at one's eyes, nose, ears, at one's tongue or at one's body. Mental defilements, these kilesas, they arise within one's heart. The external senses are merely an intermediary to one's internal sense bases, and the mental defilements, these due to mental impressions, they arise within one's heart. Therefore, have mindfulness always watching over and restraining one's heart, because whoever has mindfulness and wisdom always watching over one's heart, this person is able to go beyond the snares of Mara. And so for this evening, I offer this for you to reflect upon. May I end this talk here.